On the prayer of our forefathers. So who was the first person that prayed to God in the Bible? Who was the first person? Who was the first person that prayed to God in the Old Testament? Okay, guys, get it wrong. There'll be no lunch for you guys. No eating lunch. Now, who was the first person? Noah. Okay. Anybody else? Who was the first person that prayed to God? What's that? Abraham. Okay. You know, quite often when we think about prayer, we think like, okay, you kneel down, and then we say, you know, our Father in heaven, right? Quite often we don't realize that praying is communicating with God. So if I would ask you, who was the first person who communicated with God in the Bible? Adam, exactly, right? Because Adam's relationship with God was so intimate, we just feel like when we kneel down and pray that God is so far away and we are down here on earth. But praying, it should be like two friends speaking to one another face to face. And I'm sure many of you, you know, some of you, especially for sisters, right? How many of you spend more than How many of you spend more than 2 hours a day speaking to your friend? Don't be shy. You can raise your hands, right? No? Okay, over 1 hour speaking to your friend. Okay, so over 1 hour is quite a bit, right? Is this your BFF that you talk to? Or just like any friend? So none of you spend more than 2 hours speaking to your friend every day. I'm talking about multiple friends. Don't need to be one person. No? Just over 1 hour? How about brothers? Your brother, we don't usually speak too much, right, to our friends. Do you guys chat a lot? I mean, don't have to be, you know, verbal communication. It can be through texting, chatting, things like that, right? How many of you speak over 2 hours to your friends every day? Okay, Kevin, who's your friend? Who's the friend? Oh, Victor. Victor, where's he from? Oh, okay. So why do you speak to him for over 2 hours? Why? It's fun. What else? Why do you speak to someone more than 2 hours a day? You know, sometimes you speak to one person after a minute, like, oh man, you want to stop already, right? Why do you speak? What else? It's fun. Oh, can you play games with him online? Okay. What else? What other reason why? To speak to your friend. Sisters? So Eileen, why do you speak to your friend? One and out. I'm sure, Kevin, you do the same thing. You share your feelings with Victor, right? Stuff like that. Through video games, right? Yeah. So actually, when we communicate with other people, actually, the reason why we want to communicate with them for a long time is because we have some kind, you know, feeling. Like sometimes it's fun. Sometimes it's very comforting. All these kind of things, right? I mean, but for guys, quite often, normally guys, we don't communicate too well, right? So one day when you get married and your wife always want to talk, and quite often husband don't want to talk, right? Then what should you do if that's the case? What should you do? If your wife want to talk all the time and then you don't want to talk, then what should you do? Yeah, exactly, just listen, you're right. So you be a good husband, right? You just sit there and listen, right? Sit there and listen. Quite often, actually, communication is not that you and I need to speak, but we need to learn how to listen. So the reason why you and I cannot kneel down for a long time to pray, because praying is no fun. That's why. It seems praying, we don't feel anything from it. And the reason why that is because God seems so far away. You know, I can speak to my wife all day. I can just sit down and just talk. Every time. Even though we talk about nonsense stuff, right? And sometimes we say something, you know, for example, we say, oh, how are you feeling? Right? How are you feeling? And then sometimes we just sing a song. Feelings. Nothing more but feelings. You know that song? So you make, you guys are too young for that kind of song. So quite often, when we say something, we say some words and then it reminds us of a song. So we would, both of us just start singing a song, right? So this is what friendship is like. This is what to be close to be someone is like. You can see when Moses up in the mountain praying to God, you think like, oh God, you're so boring. Right? Look at, right? What, you're writing the tablet with your fingers? Well, how cool, you know, how boring is that, right? No. Moses' face, glue, right? And glue, is it not glue? What is the passage of glow? Glow. Glow, okay. And he's not glued, but yeah. So his face glowed, right? Yes. Shiny. When he came down, everybody like, wow, Moses, you've been speaking to God. So that's why for these next 10 days, when you go back home, when people say, wow, what happened to your face? Really, what happened to your face? When I was a TTP student, right, and there time we pray at least 2 hours a day. At least 2 hours a day. Every church I go to, all the old mamas, they look at my face. Like, wow, something happened with your face, right? And they couldn't figure out what it is, right? Why? Because when you communicate with God for so long, your face just feels so gentle, right? When you look at a person, they look so gentle, they look so shining, right? They look so peaceful. So because of this, you just feel like, wow, something good must have happened. So that's why it's important. When we communicate with God, don't think we just kneel down and pray to nothing. Right? If you worship idols, that's what happened. When you idol worshipers and kneel down and pray, they cannot hear you. They cannot talk to you. They cannot do anything while you're communicating with them. But the true and living God. So that's why when we talk about prayer, we must realize that when we sit down or when we kneel down and pray, God is right there in front of us. God was right there in front of us. If you don't have this kind of mentality, then pray become very long. How many of you pray 1 hour before? Dan, how do you feel? Would you pray for 1 hour? Is it burdensome? When you get to the point you can pray for 1 hour, then prayer no longer burdensome. Why? Because for you to pray 1 hour, you must really enjoy it. You feel so peaceful, you feel like you want to pray more. And sometimes, you know, in the beginning of a seminar, and when you pray for half an hour, sometimes you open your eyes, you just want to go and ring the bell for the minister, right? It seems so long already, right? But when you get to the point that you experience God, you feel God in your prayer, then in your mind, think, please don't ring the bell. Please don't ring the bell. Why? Because you are so joyful in communicating with a person. So that's why quite often, right, if you talk to your friends, your mom, your parents, say, dinner time, and come to dinner, you're like, oh, can I have another 10 minutes? Can I have another 20 minutes? And the same thing, if you guys play sports, right? Usually, you know, after school, when I was in high school, and I, of course, I play a lot of sports. And usually my mom tells me dinner time is 6 o'clock. And every time it's 6 o'clock, I'm never home. Why? Because I'm having so much fun, right? Playing tennis, playing basketball. Then my mom, she usually come to the park and beep her horn, right? And she would yell, "Woody, dinner," right? And then she embarrassed me and then I had to go, right? But why didn't I want to go home? Because I am enjoying myself playing sports. So the same thing communicating. Quite often when we communicate with a person that we feel like so close to, we feel so comfortable talking to, then you don't want to leave them. You don't want to leave them. So the goal is for us to reach that point. That when we kneel down and pray and communicate with God, that we don't want to leave God. But of course, there's also self-control, right? Because sometimes people say, oh, I want to pray to God 5-6 hours a day, right? To do that sometimes in my experiences, self-control is very important. And God never wants us to sit down all day, just read the Bible, and just pray and do nothing else. That's not God's will.
But at the same time, we must take time to talk to him. But of course, sometimes some people say want to pray to God 5-6 hours a day. Actually, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. But the reason why these 10 days we put aside so we can communicate with God, so we can read his word, because this is a special event. See, we pray maybe 2 hours a day. So we can build our foundation that when we go home, when we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, we can feel that he's right there. When I received the Holy Spirit in 1999, during that time, I was sleeping, right, in the middle of the night. I was sleeping, all of a sudden I heard a voice, Rudy, get up and pray. And I did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. So when I got up, then I kneeled down. First, the thing that touched me the most, that God knew my name. He called me, Rudy, get up and pray. Can you imagine that, right? I have not known God for 27 years of my life. But he knows me. He knows me. And even though I'm a sinner and everything, but he called me by name, my name, Rudy, get up and pray. So when I kneeled down to me, I say, hallelujah. Before even hallelujah came out, I felt the Holy Spirit came through my head. And my whole body was full of fire. And from my stomach, it's like living water coming out. And that was the first time when I pray, I felt that Jesus right in front of me. He was right in front of me, just like I'm talking, actually even closer for me to you there. Seemed like he was right there talking to me. So during that prayer, I just shed tears for like almost an hour. And that 1 hour went by just like that. So quickly. Then I realized this is what it's like to really be intimate with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to the point that you and I can kneel down and pray, after half an hour, after an hour, we just feel it goes by so quickly. Then we realize how close we are to him. Because a person that we love, a person that we care about, when we communicate with them, we do not want to leave. We always want to stay and continue a conversation. So that's why, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Here, the Bible stated, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That was the Garden of Eden. Where's the Garden of Eden right now? Where's the Garden of Eden right now? Where's the Garden of Eden right now? Where is the Garden of Eden? Where is the Garden of Eden? Take a guess. Where is the Garden of Eden? Where can we hear the footstep of God walking in the cool of the day? Where can we experience God? Yes. First is the church. That is the Garden of Eden. Second is in here. This is the Garden of Eden. So even though back then we feel like, wow, Adam and Eve, they were so blessed. Why? Because they can see and they can hear God walking in the cool of a day in the garden. But actually, we're even more blessed. Why? Because not only God walked in the garden, God lived in the garden. God lived in here. But quite often, you and I cannot hear his footstep. Quite often, we cannot hear his voice. Why? Because when we pray to God, God is not like human being just like you and me. I mean, when you talk to your friends, right? I mean, you talk to your friend Victor over 2 hours a day, but you don't know what kind of sin he's committed, right? You know? When you guys say, yeah, you don't know what he does, right? And his home and stuff like that, right? You know? A little bit, right? Even though you know, do you feel you're talking to him? No. Right? Quite often it's like this. I have Gentile friends, right? They sleep around, they do this and that. I still talk to them, right? Because they're still my friend, they do not know any better. serve him also must be holy. Remember when God ascended at Mount Sinai, what was the people on base of the mountain? What were they doing? Remember when God ascended on top of Mount Sinai, what did the people say to Moses? What's that? Yes. They were so dreadfully afraid, right? They say, Moses, you go and speak to him. Why did they say that? Yes. Because they have sin inside of them. So because of this, if they go in front of God to speak, they will be cast down, they will be dead. So that's why they say, Moses, you go, right? You go and speak to him. So that's why that's one thing that's different between our friends and the true and living God that you and I communicate to. So that's why here, even though Adam and Eve, even though God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, what was Adam and Eve doing? What they were doing in verse 8? What did they do, brother? They hid themselves. Why did they hide themselves? Yes, because they had sin. So quite often when you and I try to communicate with God, and when we have sin inside our heart, that's what happened. We hide ourselves. We don't want to talk to God. And this sin, from eating, what kind of fruit did they eat? What kind of fruit did they eat? What kind of fruit did they eat? Anyone know what kind of fruit they ate? See, we did not know, right? We do not know. And I'm sure there's something you don't need to peel, right? Because Eve took a bite and killed her husband, right? So if something you have to peel, then she wouldn't be able to do that. Maybe something she had to peel, maybe she'd take a little bit of time, like, oh, man, I don't want to peel this, right? Then she would commit sin against God, right? So, but something, maybe something, I don't know, some people say it's an apple, this and that, we don't know exactly what it is. But it's the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Let me ask you this question, right? I mean, think about this. Why did God put this fruit in the garden of Eden and then told Adam, hey, don't touch it and don't eat it? What kind of God is that? Just like if you guys were so hungry and then I put food in front of you, say, just look at it. Actually, don't even look at it. Don't touch it, but I put the food right in front of you. And that would be pretty mean, right, to do that, right? So if someone asks us this question, why did God put this tree of knowledge, good and evil, in the middle of the garden and then told Adam and Eve, don't eat it? How would we respond to this? Sisters, can you respond? What would you think? How would you answer this question? What's that? Okay. Anyone else? Brothers, can anybody respond to that? Why did God put the tree of knowledge, good and evil, in the midst of the garden? What's that? To test us, right? To test us. Think about that, right? To test us. So you're really hungry, I put the food in front of you, I'm trying to test you if you obey or not, right? And that just seems like, if God does that, it doesn't seem right, right? It doesn't seem right, because we prayed him, lead us not into temptation, but God gave us this thing, want us to fall to temptation. We must look at the bigger picture. First, let's read chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground, the Lord God make every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. So here, in the garden, every tree
right? Every tree. It's good for what? It's good to eat. And then it's pleasant to what? To the sight. So everything in the garden is pleasant to look at. Everything in the garden, you can eat of it.
Let me, can a couple of you bring the board out here, please? Satan tempt Eve. Look at verse 6, chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, which tree is good for food? All of them. You understand? All of them. And then, and it was pleasant to the eyes. Which tree was pleasant to the eyes? All. So remember this, right? And then, and a tree desired to make one wise. Who said a tree to make one wise? It was Satan. So in other words, remember, okay? All these trees good, all these trees are good for food. All these trees are pleasant to eat. But God told them, do not eat a tree in the midst of. What happened if God said, do not eat the tree from the left of the garden? Right? God can say that to you, right? Or to the right of the garden, or to the top of the garden, or to the bottom of the garden, do not eat of it. So God can say that to you, right? And why did God say, do not eat this tree in the middle of God's garden? Why? Because is it because the fruit itself has power? So whatever food it is that eat it, and the food have power and destroy them? No. Why God tell them not to eat from this tree? What's the reason? Hey, all the trees, good for food, pleasant to the eye. But why God said don't eat of this tree? Of knowledge, good and evil. You think they, back then, you think that Adam and Eve had wisdom, had knowledge back then, you think? Yeah. And he names all the animals. Can you imagine that, right? A lot of times parents have difficulty naming one kid, right? You know, when a kid is born, like, what name can a kid name? He names all the animals. And, I mean, look at it. You think about elephant, right? Elephant. Want them to eat. What's that?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, they will surely die, but why?
There's a consequence of eating it, right? But why did God say this tree is going to die?
history, the temple. All the trees here, they're all neutral. Good for food, pleasant to the eye. But the minute Satan used one of them and told them to eat it, so they formed that. What was their sin? What was the sin of Adam and Eve? What was the sin of Adam and Eve? What was the sin of Adam and Eve? What was their sin? Yes, disobedience. So they rather believe in Satan because the serpent, remember the serpent is a beast, right? It's a cattle. Don't think in the early years that the serpent crawled on the stomach. No. The serpent might look like a cow or something, a wildebeest, something like that, right? Because he was cursed, and from then on he just crawled on his stomach. You understand? So he probably like this cow coughing, you know, to eat, right? And because of that, so God can say, look, don't eat the tree. To the left about it. God did not plant one tree in the garden and say, don't eat of it. You guys understand? God plant every tree, but God said, don't eat this one. Why? Because when you eat of it, not because you want to eat willingly, but because you eat it because you listen to Satan to eat it. Just like everything else here too. Everything in life nowadays, is money bad? Is money bad? No. Money is good. But if the way you make money, it determines good or bad. If you go to the bank and rob and take the money, that is bad. But money itself is neutral. Just like all the trees here are neutral. But if Satan tells you to do something, tell Satan is the one to tell us forces to do it. And then what? Then it becomes bad. That's why when Satan tempted up in his Christ, right? He said what? I give you all this glory that was given to me. If you bow down to me, I'll give you all this glory. Is it bad, all the things of this world? No. It's only bad when you listen to Satan. Do you guys understand? So it's not about this tree that was regarded.
And here it says what? The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
You think it's two different trees or just one tree? Think about it, right? For me, this take for reference. For me, it's only one tree. If they don't eat of it, there's a tree of life. You understand? If they eat of it, oh, it's still not good and evil, and they die. So everything.
So any thought? Any questions? Actually, our God is a perfect God. Our God loves us so much. He would never do things like that. What does virgins mean in the Bible? What does it mean? Virgins.
Virgins mean what? Pure and holy. So all of us, the minute we are baptized, spiritually become virgins, right? Pure and holy. But even though we are pure and holy, it does not mean that all of us will enter eternal life. What was the five foolish ones? What was the mistake that five foolish ones?
Miles. But when you are qualified, right, to run the marathon, what do they give you?
Yeah, they give you a number, right? They assign you a number. You can see 100% of the time, only those who has a number can finish the cross finish line. The one who has joined the run our numbers, okay, they cannot make it, right? This is doable for fun, right? So you and I are the one with the numbers. But if we don't finish the race, the finish line, and every one of us need to run our own race. Need to run our own race. I remember one time this couple, they ran the marathon, and the wife was just there to support him. So every time they were running, and she would get the water and give him a drink, right? And then actually, there was a time, I don't know if he won or not, something, I don't know. But he came very, he was in, you know, in the top, maybe top 10, whatever it is. But he was disqualified. Why? Because the rule is that you cannot allow anybody to help you to bring you water, right? You know, when you're running a marathon, when you're thirsty, what do? You have to run from the side, right? To get water. So if someone runs from the side for you and give you water, you know how much energy you save? And that 26.2 miles. A lot, right? So you lose all of that. So now think the same thing. Don't think.
Because on the end, if you don't run your own race, if you don't finish the race yourself, there's no way that if someone else could have, you know, finished the race for you, you say, well, I'm also safe because they finished the race for you. There's no way. There's no way. So that's why, brothers and sisters, really think about this. I know that the world nowadays, and they just consider everything, make light of everything. But God has a better plan for you and I. That is to run this race successfully and finish at the finish line. So we can enter eternal life. So there's many things in this world we can choose from. Even though God is all powerful, there's one thing he cannot do. What he does. God is all powerful, but there's one thing he cannot do. Help me, though, you know, for me not to sin. No. So that's why quite often when you and I pray to God, we already have our will. We want to do it already. But then we ask God, God, if it's not your will, please stop me from doing it. No. If we already make determination what we want to do, God will not stop us. But if we have weaknesses, we don't want to do it, we fall into it, then God can help us. Two different things. So sinning willfully, then you cannot pray to God to help us, right? Because we are willingly sinning against God. Just like one time I was in San Jose Church, and this guy came in, and he said, oh, please pray for me, right? And I said, okay, we'll pray for you. Then the next day he came again, and said, please pray for me, and then we and our friends would say, oh, why do you want to pray for us? He's like, oh, I have five girlfriends. I don't know which two or three to decide on. Be like, get out of here already, right? But you cannot ask somebody to pray for you, you willingly seek to find your girls, you understand? He's that kind of prayer without will. So the same thing for us, when we do think that it's sinful, we ask God, willingly we do it, but we ask God to help us. No, it doesn't work that way. So everything in life is like this. So does everybody understand this concept? Don't eat the tree of knowledge, good and evil. don't listen to it. Why? Because Jesus said you must be born again of water and spirit. And many churches don't believe you need to be baptized to be saved.
You understand?
Just like Eve, she does not believe the word of God. When God told her to eat the true knowledge with you, and don't believe it. You understand? We cannot go all far. Why didn't say, if you were to say Satan, the one that wanted to tempt us, Satan already feared tempted and they see with no answer. Satan was not invisible. He was communicating with him. Right? By the time she already should knew, she should have known already that God told her. Look at the conversation, right? Listen to the conversation. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden. Look, right? He said, we may eat the tree. Why? Because look at verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. Beast of beasts, right? Which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You can see, right? Temptation. First, she should not even spoken to him in the first place. She should not communicate with the serpent. Second, she should not, when he start talking about the tree, she should just go away already, right? Then look at she communicate what verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, why are you talking to the serpent? Because the serpent was very cunning, right? Very cunning. We may eat the fruit of the tree of the garden. She said, yeah, we may eat of it. And what she's saying to him, hey, you are wrong, right? God did not say you should not eat of it. Yeah, you should eat of it. But look at verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. She knows very clearly what God's commandment that she needs to follow. Okay, we'll continue to study this later on. So the same thing for us. God tells us, do not do this, do not do that. We must have the faith to follow God's word. Of course, we always have our own reason why we should do this and why we should do that. But human reasoning, quite often, it does not go according to God's reasoning and God's word. If God tells us, don't eat the tree that is in the midst of the garden, don't eat. That is it. If God say there's a reason, then we would feel like, oh, okay, there's a reason behind it. And I agree with his reason, so I won't eat it. No. You understand? He is God. He's not like a mother and father, right? A mother and father, sometimes they tell us to do things, we feel like, oh, maybe it's not right. But when God says something, it's always 100% perfect. But you and I must have the faith to do it. Let's kneel down and pray together.